to emphasize things. Well, we have a ways to go today, and you don't have a recycled message, okay? This has been a message that's been on my heart for a while, and I allude to this often when I am speaking, but I've never done a whole message on the topic. And the topic is living out the gospel, living out the gospel, or living out the gospel message. But it's something that I allude to, and it's something that's gripped my heart as I've been thinking through it over the years. And I wanted to do a whole message on it, and I thought, no place like the Bay Shore to do it. And so anyway, let's look to the Lord in prayer, and I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts. I don't need this anymore, do I, guys? Am I hurting it? Okay, very good. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you for your grace and mercy to us. Thank you that you are a good God and you want what is best for us. You are a loving Heavenly Father. And Father, we thank you for the Spirit of God that you've given to each one who have repented of their sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you will never leave us and never forsake us. And we thank you, Lord, that the one who has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for this assembly of believers here, that they seek to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and to share the message of the gospel with those around them, Lord. And I pray that you will energize them by your Spirit to do that. I pray, Lord, that you will give strength to each one of the folks who give leadership here in any capacity to any of the ministries and programs. We pray, Father, that you will guide the elders, the deacons, as they give oversight to the work here. And, Lord, as they are in the process of choosing someone and seeing the hand of God on someone in regard to giving oversight to the ministry here as pastor, leader. And, Lord, I pray you'll guide them in that process as well. And I pray that each person would seek your face in that regard. Thank you, Lord, for the brothers who come and minister from week to week, and we ask that you would strengthen them as well, give them journeying mercies as they do travel in and out. And Father, we ask that all that is said and done today will honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. These things we pray in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Amen. So the title of the message, as we mentioned, is Living Out the Gospel, and read a passage, of course, that talks about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, sets it out very succinctly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 to 4, and then verses that relate to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and living it out. We may all be a little bit guilty of unconsciously thinking that the gospel was only for the moment in our lives. We may unconsciously be guilty of thinking that the gospel was only good for the moment in our lives as believers. That it was somehow just a historical event in our lives that took place maybe 60 years ago for some of you, or more, I'm not sure. 50 years ago, 40, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago. Sometimes we can think that the gospel was only good for the moment. But today I want to talk about living out the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think it may be just that one special day in that moment when we were gloriously saved, when we were born again, when we were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ and became his follower. The hymn writer who wrote the hymn "To God Be the Glory," one of the stanzas says, "O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives." And isn't that the truth? The moment we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are saved. We're born again of the Spirit of God. And we are born into his family. But sometimes we're guilty of thinking that the gospel is just for the moment. The message today, I trust, will be very simple. But I pray by the help of God's Holy Spirit that you'll realize in a fresh way that the gospel was just not for the moment, but that it gloriously affects us today in every relationship that we have, every situation of our lives. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be lived out in those situations and put the gospel into practice and the principles of the gospel. And so the gospel is not just for the moment. And you may get tired of me saying that this morning. The gospel was not just for the moment. The gospel is for every moment in our lives and every situation that we go through. First of all, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we never want to take anything for granted. We know that the gospel means, and you've heard this from the time you were kids in Sunday school, the gospel simply means good news, right? They would come in from their ships maybe in Corinth, and they would go throughout the city, and they'd say, I have some gospel for you. I have some good news. And they would share the news. And so we apply that to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's good news. Actually, Baker's New Testament commentary would define it this way. It is the God spell. You've heard that before, God spell. It is the God spell, the spell or the story that tells us what God has done to save sinners. Hence, it is evangel or message of glad tidings. It is the glad news of salvation which God addresses to a world lost in sin. Not what we must do, but what God in Christ has done for us is the most prominent part of that news. And that's what sets biblical Christianity apart from all the other faiths or religions of the world. The religions of the world say, you do your best, you try, you go through hoops, you improve yourself, and you try to earn eternal life, and however they would describe that. God knows that we cannot save ourselves. There's no way that we can save ourselves. We can't add one bit to our salvation, so God reaches down to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, because we're helpless sinners, and we can't be saved unless he reaches down to save us by his grace alone. The book of Romans, of course, systematically sets forth the teaching regarding the gospel of our salvation through the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just want to go over a few of those verses, and we sometimes call it the Romans Road. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who what? Believes. It's the good news. It's the power of God. And that's the word we get our word dynamite from, dunamis, dynamite. It's God's power. And the guys who were at the retreat, you heard different men share how God changed their lives. That's not somebody deciding, I'm going to just turn over a new leaf. God changed their heart from the inside out. And it's the Spirit of God that did that work. And it is the power of God to everyone who believes. In the believe, the word there means giving more than a mental assent. There's many people say, well, I believe, but it's believing to the point of trusting in. What are you trusting in for your salvation? We fly out early tomorrow morning for Saskatoon on vacation to visit Sharon's sister. I could stand in the airport all day long and look out at the plane and say, I believe that plane will get me there. Good company, WestJet. I'm sure that guy's trained really well. I believe that plane will get me there. But when do I truly believe the plane will get me to Saskatoon? When I get on the plane and I simply entrust myself to the plane. That's believing to the point of trusting, and that's what it means. More than mental assent to the facts of the gospel, it means that's the only thing I'm trusting in, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and paid the penalty for my sins. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says, there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are good enough on our own to earn our way to heaven. If I try to get to heaven by the good things that I do, God will not accept me into his heaven. There is none righteous, no, not one. And I think none covers everybody, does it not? There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all our righteousness are like what? Filthy rags, that's right. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have missed the mark as far as God is concerned. We've missed the mark. We've all sinned. There's not a righteous man upon the earth who does good and does not sin, the scripture says. And then Romans chapter 4 and verse 5 says, but to him who does not work or try to earn his salvation, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, in his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, then we are justified in God's sight. God sees me just if I'd never sinned. When I place my faith and trust. Because the perfect righteousness of Christ, like a cloak, is placed around me. Isaiah says that we're given the garment of salvation and we're given a robe of righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? The perfect righteousness of Christ that God the Father accepts is placed on the believer when they place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. It's imputed to us. It's a term, it's a legal term, it's imputed, it's a transaction. When you place your faith and trust in Christ, righteousness is imputed to your account. But it's not your own righteousness that you earned yourself, it's the righteousness of Christ that is given to the one who believes. Isn't that great? I can tell you're really excited about it. Amen. Amen. It's a great truth, it really is. Yeah. I get excited once in a while, you know. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, when we were without strength, when we had no power or ability, Christ died for us. So we couldn't save ourselves. We had no power or ability to save ourselves. Jesus Christ died and paid the penalty for our sin. And the wages of sin is what? The wages of sin of death. Jesus Christ paid the wages on our behalf. And Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love or commends his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us. Sometimes people say, well, I'll clean up my life and I'll get this straightened out. It's not going to help one iota. We need to trust in Christ and what he has done for us. And he demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then one of my favorite verses, Romans 6:23, that I've alluded to already. For when we were yet, that's not it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. People give you gifts at Christmas time, probably, right? It's free to you, but somebody had to buy it. Somebody had to pay for it. The free gift of eternal life is offered to us all. But it had to be bought and it had to be paid for. And the great price that was paid, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died in our place, shed his precious sinless blood so that we could be saved. And based on the fact that he's paid for our sins, he offers us the free gift of eternal life. And just like at Christmas time, if you're going to get a gift, somebody hands it to you, all you have to do is what? Take it. Just receive it. And so many people stumble sometimes because salvation is so simple. We can't do anything for it. It's a free gift, bought and paid for. We must receive it. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And when you place your faith and trust in Christ, you're seen as being in Christ Jesus or accepted before a holy God on the basis of what Christ has done for you. We are accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians tells us. And then Romans chapter 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a good Bible word, isn't it? Saved. You'll be saved from your sins. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What if I went down to the street in Annapolis Royal on a Saturday and I just went up to Joe Blow and I said, call on the name of the Lord, ask him to save you. And he said, Lord, save me. Does that mean he's saved? Because, no. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 is over in chapter 10 for a reason. First of all, we need to realize what? We're sinners. We can't save ourselves. We can't earn our salvation. We've already talked about that through Romans. And then it says Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins. And if we understand that, we're sinners. We can't save ourselves. We can't make ourselves acceptable to God. And that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins. Then knowing that, understanding that, we call on him and ask him to save us. He'll do what? He'll save us. I'm talking so fast because I got a long ways to go today. In Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower and the seed, the one where the seed fell on the good ground and brought forth fruit. If you look at that parable, it says, they heard the word of God and they understood it. They perceived it. And when you understand that you're a sinner, can't save yourself, and that Jesus Christ died for your sins and he's the only way of salvation, and you call on him in faith, then you're saved. Right? That makes sense? So we never want to take anything for granted. So let me ask the question, what key words are connected to the gospel? We're talking about the theme of living out the gospel. What key words are connected to the gospel? Or what key words describe what happened or what transpired when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Now I'm going to let you talk. Just give me a few words that are connected with the gospel message. Think of... Yes. Anybody else? Faith. Okay, yes. Faith.
Love.
Love, exactly. God demonstrated his love. For by grace are you saved through faith. Well, I gave up another one, didn't I? Grace, that's pretty important, isn't it? We sure are. But there's a lot of great words that are connected. I think there's 15 key words that talk about our salvation in different ways, reconciliation and redemption and propitiation, and we won't go through all those, but many wonderful and key words that are relating to our salvation. Second major point, again, I'm going to say it, the gospel was not just for the moment. It was a wonderful moment. It was an amazing moment, whether you were younger or you were older when you got saved. It was an incredible moment. In fact, it was a moment that you were made alive. Ephesians 2:1 says, you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespass and sin. The moment you placed your faith and trust in Christ, you were made alive, spiritually speaking, because before that you were dead, You were dead spiritually, alive physically, but you had the wrath of God abided on you, the scripture said. But once you trusted Christ, that very moment, you were made alive spiritually. It was a moment when it saw that you were passed from death onto life. You were spiritually dead and on your way to hell, but you received new life. You were passed from death unto life, John chapter 5 and verse 24 tells us. It was a moment that you were made a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation, and you became a new creation. Your position changed. You were seen as a sinner before God. Now you're seen as a son or a child of God. And you are in Christ. That's your position. So you are a new creation. It was a moment that you received everlasting life. John 3:16. I don't even have to say it for you. When we believe on Christ, we have everlasting life. That very moment, you had everlasting life. It was a moment when you became his child. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe or trust in his name. So it was an amazing moment. It was a moment when you became his sheep and you were sealed for all eternity. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall what? They shall never perish. So it's a moment you became his sheep and you're headed to heaven and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever if you're saved. It was a moment that the Holy Spirit came to indwell you and to abide with you forever, John chapter 14 and verse 16 tells us. So it was a moment that was beyond any moment. But make sure you've come to that moment. Make sure you've trusted in him. Make sure you've rested in him. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not sure. I don't know. Well, are you married? If you're married here, how do you know you're married? Well, one day you stood before pastor, minister, justice of the peace, and you said what? I do take you, Paul, Percival Clayton, to be my... No, it's not Percival. I take you, Paul Clayton, to be my husband. I take you, Valerie, to be my wife. Was there a time in your life when you said, Lord Jesus, I trust you as my Savior? You may not use those words, but you said, I'm trusting in you, Lord Jesus, and what you did for me. There needs to be that time that you trusted in the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, the living out of the gospel message. The living out of the gospel message. The gospel was not just for the moment. It was not just good and relevant for the time that you trusted in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross, as important as that moment is, or that as important as that moment was. But you can live out the gospel message every day in your life, and you should live out the gospel message every day in your life. And you can live out the gospel in your relationships at home, and with your wife, and with your husband, and with your children. By the way, speaking of those relationships, it made me think of something. Sometimes we think great sign of spiritual maturity is when somebody asks a Bible question that, you know, people can give the answers right away, like that. Or that they can quote scripture, just they can bring up any verse. And we think that's a sign of spiritual maturity. You know what a real sign of spiritual maturity is? And you may not think about it a lot. How you handle the relationships around you. Somebody may think you're spiritually mature. You could be in leadership in the church and somebody think you're spiritually mature. But if you can't get along with your wife, if you can't get along with your children, if you can't get along with your coworkers at your workplace or in the church, you are not spiritually mature. And a great mark of spiritual maturity is how do you handle the relationships around you? That bites sometimes, doesn't it? That hurts. Because it's different than being able to quote scripture and give answers. I just threw that in free of charge. You can live out the gospel message at your place of work and duty. You can live out the gospel message with your neighbors. And you can live out the gospel message in your recreational life and in your social life as well. And the gospel is to be practically lived out in all those areas today. For instance, we'll think about some of the words that were mentioned there today, and I had a little more time to think about those. But the word love, the sacrificial love of Christ was shown to us at the cross, we are told in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. So how do we live out the truth of that today? How do we live out the truth of the sacrificial love of Christ? I can live that out in my relationship with my wife. How am I supposed to love her? In a sacrificial way. I'm to love her as Christ loved the church. That's living out the gospel. Does this make sense? Living out the gospel. Or how do I love my children? How do I love my neighbors? Did we deserve the love that Christ bestowed upon us? Did we really deserve it because we're such handsome people and we did so many wonderful things? No, we don't deserve his love. So therefore, sometimes in our relationships with others, they may not treat us like we want to exactly, but I can show them the love that Christ had for me. That's living out what? That's living out the gospel. And it really puts a difference on the emphasis of the gospel, that the gospel is not just for the moment. The gospel is for today, and it's for tomorrow, and it's for next year and 20 years' time if the Lord tarries. I need to live out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did we deserve his love? No, but he loved us anyway. And he showed us love in action. How did he do that? By dying on the cross for us. So I'm not just to say to my wife I love her, or to my children, or to my neighbors, I'm to do what? I'm to show it in action, just like the Lord Jesus Christ did in the gospel. And I can live out the gospel in my life day by day. It's not just something that happened for the moment. It wasn't just good for the moment. It's good for today. It's good for all my relationships. The grace, the unmerited favor of God was shown to us when we trusted Christ for salvation. Did we merit his salvation? Did we merit his forgiveness? Did we deserve it? No, we didn't. We didn't at all. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved in Christ. Verse 7 says, talks about the riches of his grace. Chapter 2 and verse 7 says, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So to live out the gospel and to live out grace, I can act in a gracious way. How? When I'm wronged, when I'm offended, how should I react? Should I snap back at them, give them as good as they sent? Or should I live out the gospel and treat them in a gracious way? That's living out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace was shown to us through the gospel. And I can live out this grace aspect of the gospel today. I need to treat others like that. We were forgiven by his grace, weren't we? Grace wasn't just something that was shown in salvation. Now we can forget about it in our lives. I can live out this aspect of the gospel today. And by doing that, I can show the love of Christ to others. Because if I react how they normally think I should react, that wouldn't draw any attention to Christ. But if somebody offends me and hurts me and I treat them in a loving, gracious way, that will point to the source of my ability to treat them in a loving, gracious way. Does that make sense? And it can point to the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can live out this aspect of the gospel today, and by it, Christ can be seen in my life. The peace of God and peace with God was brought to us at the cross, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can I apply that to my relationships? I have to live in peace with my wife, with my husband, with my children, with my neighbors. I can live out the gospel in those areas of my life. The believer, the scripture tells us that we were reconciled to God through the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through baptism. Is that what it says? No, through Jesus Christ. Let me read it again. Just see if you're awake. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Two contending parties were at odds with one another. We're sinners. We're separated from God. Our sins and iniquities have separated us from a holy God. It's shut us out of heaven. The Bible says nothing that defiles will enter into heaven. And we needed to be reconciled to a holy God. And that reconciliation took place because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins and broke down the middle wall of partition between us. Sometimes we get at odds with one another in this world, don't we? In our earthly relationships. Sometimes it could even happen here within the four walls. Somebody could get at a snip at somebody else. Or with our co-workers, maybe in our family. The InterVarsity Press commentary said, the gospel is all about reconciliation. And unreconciled people do not advertise it well. My uncle and my neighbor used to sit at the breaking of the bread every week in the fellowship hall that they went to, but for 2 or 3 years they were not speaking to one another. But they would take the breaking of the bread communion together. My dad and my mom, who were not believers, knew that. Did that speak well of the gospel and what the gospel represents, reconciliation? Answer? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It did not become the gospel. That was not living out the gospel, was it? Finally, they were reconciled, thank the Lord. But that was a hindrance to my parents who were not believers. Knowing both of them knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they in taking the breaking the bread together, but would not speak to one another for 2 or 3 years. That does not become the gospel. That's not living out the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how then can I live out the gospel in this situation? By having the mind of Christ. I can be brought back to a friendly relationship with somebody that I'm at odds with. And that by that way, live out the gospel of reconciliation. The mercy of God was demonstrated at the cross. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. We deserve hell and punishment and separation. But he shows us mercy at the cross. Our old sin nature generally wants to retaliate when we're offended, to have payback. But the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ and a spirit-filled believer who desires to live out the gospel will be to show mercy to people, to show mercy to them. That's supernatural. Natural is to stay at odds with them, be loggerheads, like Dad would say. But we don't want to be loggerheads. We want to be in fellowship. We want to show mercy to one another. That's living out the gospel. Micah chapter 7, verse 18, one of my favorite verses, talks about the Lord in the Old Testament. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. God delights to show us mercy. When we repent of our sins, when we, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin, God's not there. Third time this month, Steve, I don't know if I want to forgive you. God delights to show me mercy. He gets pleasure in showing me mercy. Isn't that great? Now, if Paul offended me 3 times in 1 month, first time, forgive him. Second time, yeah, forgive him, but I'm watching him. It comes a third time over the same thing, I'm probably not too fussy about it. Honestly, right? Naturally, I'm not too fussy about it. But God delights to show me mercy. Isn't that wonderful? That was a real revelation to me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. So when you show mercy to others, you're simply living out the gospel. The mercy that was extended to you at the cross when you trusted Christ for salvation, you can extend that mercy to others. That's living out the gospel message. So the gospel wasn't just good for the moment 20 years ago, 50 years ago. It's good for today and it's good for every relationship. That makes sense? I trust it does. Forgiveness. The forgiveness of all our sins was made possible by Christ's payment at the cross. And sometimes we are legitimately wronged by someone. And we may say, he or she doesn't deserve to be forgiven. But guess what? I didn't deserve to be forgiven. I didn't deserve God's mercy. Sometimes people say, I can't forgive them. But yet they profess to be a believer. If we truly know the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to please him, we will forgive people, not because they deserve it, but the same way Christ forgave us, by his grace and by his mercy alone. Not because they deserve it, because you didn't deserve to be saved. You didn't deserve to be forgiven. It was by grace and mercy, so that's the only basis. Sometimes people will hold an unforgiving spirit for years, and it turns to bitterness, and it'll eat away much worse at the person holding it than the person that's held against. And the prisoner that you let go is yourself. And by the way, forgiveness is a choice. It's a matter of the will. If you won't forgive somebody, it's because you won't. It's a matter of the will. And we're commanded to forgive one another, just as Christ forgave us. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. God in Christ forgive you. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, that literally means put up with one another. Because we all have our quirks and idiosyncrasies. Every one of us. We all think we're perfectly normal. And the guy beside us is a little off base. The fact is, we're all off base. Somebody said, we're all dented cans on the shelf. It's true. Put up with one another in love. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. It doesn't say it's an option. It says you must. Do it. You must. Even as God in Christ forgave you. So when you forgive, you're living out the gospel message day by day. Christ did it by his grace and mercy, and that's the only way we can do it. And when we do that, people see Christ in us. So the gospel message is to be integrated into all areas of our lives. And true biblical Christianity is not simply a matter of doing and not doing. It's a matter of being. Let me say that again. Christianity is not simply a matter of doing and not doing. It's being. It's living out who we are in Christ. It's living out who we are in Christ. It's living out the gospel. It's allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to live out his life through me. It's not just doing and not doing. It is being. It's living out the life of Christ who lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20 says. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's living out who I am in Christ on a day-to-day basis as he lives out his life through me. There's a great truth in saying that the Bible is the only gospel that other people will ever read. And many times it's true. And someone said one time, people need the opportunity not only to hear the gospel, but to see the gospel. They need to see the gospel in us, lived out. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, a church member told his pastor once, we have some neighbors who believe a false gospel. Do you have some literature I can give them? The pastor opened his Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2 and read this, you are our letter. You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, he said. The best literature in the world is no substitute for your own life. Let them see Christ in your behavior, and this will open up opportunities to share Christ's gospel with them, unquote. Last point, famous words, right? The ability to live out the gospel. Can it be done? Can it be done? The ability to live out the gospel message comes by the power of self, right? No, we do have a will, but it comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It means to be controlled by the Spirit. As we yield to the Spirit of God who lives within us, we can have the power, just like alcohol has a power to influence our thinking and influence our speech and influence how we move and where we go. We have all seen a drunk person, and maybe you've been there one time. The alcohol will control you. In the same sense, when we're under the control of the Spirit of God and we're yielding to him, our speech will be affected. Our actions will be affected. Our priorities will be affected. We had a little guy in our community. He was about 5 foot nothing, and whenever he'd get drunk, he'd want to fight with anybody and everybody. And they said he was at a dance one night in Lock Harbor, Lochiel Lake. Some of these folks went over. And they knocked him out 7 times. And he got up and he wanted to fight again. And they finally said, let's leave him alone. We're going to end up killing him. Now, when he wasn't drinking under the influence, he would never do that, right? When we're under the influence of the Spirit of God, we'll do things and say things in a positive way that we would not normally do. And we need to be under the control of the Spirit of God. And we can live out the gospel under the control of the Spirit of God. The ability to live out the gospel message comes from the same power that raised up the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Christians sometimes say, well, I can't do such and such. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 tells me that the same power that raised up the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, in other words, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, lives in you. So is there anything you can't do because you have the Spirit of God within you who raised up Christ from the dead and you have the same power? You really don't have any excuse, do you? And the guy I look at in the mirror every morning, he has no excuse either, because the resurrection power of Christ is there. And so I have the ability, as I yield to the Lord, to live out the gospel. All those tough areas, those tough things about our relationship sometimes. I'll get to it after a while. The ability to live out the gospel message will happen most effectively if we do what Paul said, that we die daily. I want to live for me a lot of times. I want to do what I want to do. I don't always want to do what the Lord wants to do. But Paul said what? I die daily, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31. And we need to die to self and be alive to God. The ability to live out the gospel message comes as you present or yield the members of your body to God, and then you can live out the gospel. Romans 6:13 says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. My eyes can be used to look at good things or evil things. My tongue can say good things and encouraging things, or I can cut people like a knife, right? You too. My hands can be used to encourage somebody, to bless them, to hug them, or I could smack somebody up the side of the head. Depends on how I yield my members, right? If I yield them to my selfish will, I could do those things that are not good. But if I yield them to God, they can be used for his glory. So I can live out the gospel as I yield to him. That is allowing Christ to live out his life through you and I. William MacDonald in the Believer's Bible Commentary says, Christians should be Christ-like. Citizens of heaven should behave accordingly. We should be in practice what we are in position. We should be in practice what we are in position in Christ. It's very easy for us to get excited and saying we want to see Jesus lifted high, but how about we want to see Jesus truly in our lives as we live out the gospel? How? As we live out the gospel through our relationships, our actions, our attitude, our speech, our priorities, our choices. And we'll never truly be salt and light as we ought to be, or attract people to Christ, or point people to Christ simply by professing salvation, or even by being baptized. And the gospel wasn't just for the moment. It's for every day. It's not just for 30 years ago and 60 years ago. We need to apply the principles of the gospel, love and forgiveness and reconciliation and peace and all those things in every one of our relationships, in our families, in our communities, in our work world, and that's living out the gospel today. The life that lives out the gospel from day to day will be like salt that will make people thirsty for the Lord Jesus Christ. The life that lives out the gospel from day to day will be a guiding light to point people from darkness to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true light. The believer can live out the gospel message, and the non-believer needs to see the gospel lived out in us. Dr. Warren Wiersbe says, we do not behave in order to go to heaven, as though we could be saved by our good works, but we behave because our names are already written in heaven. And our citizenship is in heaven. It is worth remembering that the world around us knows only the gospel that it sees in our lives. The world around us knows only the gospel that it sees in our lives. Remember, the gospel is not just for the moment. It's for today, and it's for tomorrow, and it's for the next day, and it's for every relationship and situation that I find myself in. And by God's grace and strength and for His glory, we need to live out the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ every day. Let's pray. Father, we pray that this truth would grip our hearts. We are thankful for that glorious moment when we did place our faith and trust in Christ and we found new life and forgiveness and we're taken into your forever family. But Lord, we don't want it just to be an ancient story about what happened that one moment. But Lord, help us to live out the gospel and the principles of the gospel and the truth of the gospel every day, so people around us will realize the gospel is alive. It is the power of God unto salvation. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will speak to our hearts and lives. If there's someone here who are strangers to your grace, they've never turned from their sin and trusting in themselves, in their own goodness, and they've not trusted in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary through his death, burial, and resurrection, we pray that even today, even while we're bowed in this quiet time, that they would, by faith, receive the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.